Baseball is back.
I want to see some real games.
The season is going to be different.
They've been given a gift with this 60-game schedule.
On the field, in the socially distant clubhouse, in the empty stands, there's a lot to talk about.
There's a stunning development.
And this is the place to do
it. Tony, you know, he talks, I listen.
This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Big Y, Rodenheiser Home Services, Woodbridge Wine, Gravely, and Jackson Lumber.
On Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It'll be a 1-1 stand. And the pitch is swung on and hit high in the air to left center. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Away back in the left center field seats. A Stantonian home run. It's a 2-run dinger. And the Yankees immediately take a 2-0 lead.
I know. It's not a Yankee show. I know. But it was the first game of the 2020 Major League season, and last night in Washington, I don't want to say it began with a bang. That would be a little bit corny. But Giancarlo Stanton with a first-inning home run puts the Yankees on the board, and that's how the Major League season began here. Finally in 2020. We'll open up the phone lines right away here on what is opening day for the Boston Red Sox in the Boston baseball season. 617-779-0985 is your number. We'll take your calls on all things Red Sox here, all things baseball for that matter, over the next hour. Again, 617-779-0985. We have open lines. You can jump right in. And here's where I want to start. Because a lot of this transpired late yesterday, early last evening, with regard to the new playoff structure in Major League Baseball. And that is that the changes, for those of you who don't know, and I suspect many of you do by now, but in the event you don't know, the structure, the playoff structure in Major League Baseball has been changed for the 2020 season. And at the moment, it's only for 2020. Whether or not they change it long term, who knows? But for now, just 1 year. In a regular season or following a regular season of 60 games, the playoff field now will consist of 16 teams, 8 in each league. In the past, most recently, baseball has had 10 playoff teams, 5 in each league. So the 3 division winners and 2 wild cards in the American League make the playoffs. Top 5 teams, basically. The Red Sox last year had the 7th best record in the American League, which almost put them smack dab in the middle of the field. 8th would be exactly the middle. The Red Sox did not make the playoffs, as we all know. They were the number 7 team. The number 8 team was the Texas Rangers. This year, under the current format, both of those teams would qualify. And I actually should double check that because there's a little bit of a technicality there. And not to get to bore you with too much minutia. But the way it's going to work this year, the top 2 teams in each division. So 2 from the East, 2 from the Central, 2 from the West. And then the next 2 teams with the best record in the league. So if we use that exact formula, New York and Tampa, Minnesota and Cleveland, Houston and Oakland all would have qualified last year. The next 2 would have been Boston and Texas, as we said. So it would have been true to form. They would have gotten in. The Red Sox this year, if you had asked me coming in before yesterday, were they going to make the playoffs? Were they going to be the top 5 teams in the league? My answer would have been no. Now, with 8 teams making it, meaning you really just have to not suck to make the playoffs. That's really what it comes down to. To make the playoffs, you just have to not suck in 2020. So let me ask you, for those of you out there in your cars, maybe you're headed to the Cape, maybe you're headed north, maybe you're headed home, wherever you're going. Plain and simple, what are your expectations for the team this year under the new format? And have they changed? Were they different before I told you that 8 teams are going to make the postseason instead of 5 in the American League? And let's stick to the American League. Do your standards and goals and expectations for the Red Sox change based on the news of the last 24 hours? So Matt McCarthy is alongside tonight. If you don't know Matt, he hosts the Hardcore a baseball podcast. He filled in for me numerous times last year and probably will this summer again, because there's really no other time to take vacation but during the summer, which happens to be during baseball season. And Matt is Matt knows the minor leagues way better than I do, and a lot of the young players way better than I do. So let me ask you, Matt, the change in format from five teams in the playoffs in the American League to eight this season. Does it change your expectations for the Red Sox?
Yes, it does. It changes my demand of the Red Sox, Maz. And this is how I'm going to phrase this. My demand is that the Red Sox make the playoffs this year, because it would be entirely unacceptable for the Boston Red Sox, with a payroll approaching $200 million and a team that won the World Series 2 years ago, to not be one of the top eight teams in the American League, because the American League is garbage. So you should absolutely, as a Red Sox fan, demand that they make the playoffs this year. Missing the playoffs is nothing short of unacceptable. What is my expectation? My expectation is that they're going to be somewhere between the 8th and 10th team in the American League.
Okay, so before you go down that road, let's actually go right through here. Okay, let's go right through and figure that out. So the top five teams in the American League last year, the teams that made the playoffs, were the Astros, Yankees, Twins, who won 101 games and won the Central.
And got swept.
The A's, who finished second in the West, and then Tampa Bay, who finished second in the East. They were the two wildcard teams, Oakland and Tampa. Those five teams, do you expect that they will all be in the playoffs again this year?
Yes.
Okay, again, that's Houston, New York, Minnesota, Oakland, Tampa. The sixth team that went 93-69 a year ago and did not make the playoffs was Cleveland. Do you think the Indians are better or worse than the Red Sox now this year?
Oh, they're better.
Okay, so that would be six teams that are better than the Red Sox and in. The Red Sox are seventh. The next few teams on the list. Texas. Is Texas better than the Red Sox this year?
Yes, but not by much.
Okay, and Texas now is Corey Kluber, the right-hander from the Cleveland Indians, for those of you who don't know.
That's probably the difference.
Last year, the Red Sox went 84-78. Texas won 78-84. So there was a big gap there, six games between those two teams. But that Red Sox team has lost, in addition to Mookie Betts, who actually isn't even the biggest loss, that Red Sox team has lost Chris Sale, David Price, Rick Porcello, and Eduardo Rodriguez. Okay, so they've lost their whole starting rotation. Texas added Corey Kluber. So Matt says that Texas is better than the Red Sox, and I tend to agree with him. But let's see how that goes. How about the White Sox?
I think the White Sox are better. I think the White Sox are better than Texas, too.
Okay, so the White Sox, to me, you're going to have to refresh my memory a little bit on what the White Sox added. There was a lot of hype on the White Sox last year. They went 72-89. They didn't get there. Oftentimes, those things can manifest themselves a year later, those types of improvements. They have a young team. So not shocking if the White Sox got better this year. I think the Red Sox are a little bit better than the White Sox, but we'll see how that goes. How about the Angels?
No, I still think the Red Sox are better than the Angels. But, that's kind of the category that they're in right now, Maz. They're in the Angels around there, Texas Rangers, Chicago White Sox area of the American League, which really isn't all that good.
Okay, and the other team I would throw in there, just out of respect for the young talent, is the Blue Jays. Okay, I look at the Blue Jays and I say, the Blue Jays could finish ahead of the Red Sox in the American League East. I would not rule that out.
I think better pitching.
Yeah, I think the Red Sox lineup is better, but the Jays have a better rotation, because everybody has a better rotation than the Red Sox. And so I said this earlier in the week before this whole playoff change. I think the Red Sox fortunes may very well be decided by how they play the Blue Jays head-to-head. I think it's that simple. If they have a winning record against the Blue Jays and those two teams basically do the same thing against everybody else, and that's a big assumption, the Red Sox will finish ahead of Toronto, and they'll get in. If they don't, they won't. So that is where we begin. And again, I ask those of you out there how your opinion or expectations for the Red Sox change as we enter the first game, or prepare to enter the first game of what is a very unusual 2020 season, to say the least. Now, I will tell you, should they make the playoffs? Let me just get my thought out of here, and then we'll take your calls, and we'll also continue to talk about Mookie Betts and a bunch of other things if you want to, including the games last night. But I would tell you that looking at the Red Sox, should they make the playoffs? I feel like Matt does. Yes. Yes. This is the Red Sox we're talking about. 8 out of 15 are going to make it in the American League, and the Red Sox aren't. That, to me, would be pathetic if they can't make it, independent of what has happened to their pitching staff. They should absolutely make it. But I have my fears. I think there's a chance they could be really bad. I do. I think there's a chance. Another year, like last year, for example, I never would say they'll be bad. Never in a million years. Worst case, I thought they'd win 87, 88 games. They won 84. But as disappointing as the year was, they went 84 and 78. They didn't go 72 and 90. This year, I wouldn't rule out a horrible year. I wouldn't rule it out. And there's a lot of there are a lot of reasons for that. I think one of the primary ones is that it's a COVID year, and if they start out bad, oh, I think they could pack it in really quickly. But I know a lot of you want to touch on a lot of different things, so I'll tell you what, we'll kick it off with Derek, who's in Weymouth. Derek, what do you got?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Really appreciate this, and happy for the season. But my expectation is Andrew Benintendi leading off. Obviously, I think our options are limited, but with JD batting in the two hole, I mean, you know, and obviously he's an RBI machine, but what realistically do you think Benintendi can do in the leadoff spot, and especially with the fact is he kind of needs to start coming through and produce a little bit more to make up for Betts?
Okay, so
I really want to hear you guys talk.
Yeah, Derek,
that.
Before I let you go, whoa, okay. Don't go anywhere. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
yeah, I'm here.
Before I let you go, just quickly, if you didn't bat Benintendi leadoff, where would you hit him?
Honestly, I'd maybe go like five hole. I just don't know who would go. I mean, Kevin Pillar in the five hole. I mean, obviously, it sounds like that's probably going to be a rotating spot, but I just don't think Benintendi is the best leadoff option. But then again, who is?
No, so listen, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just curious as to what you do with him. And so here's the problem with Benintendi. He doesn't hit for enough power to hit in the middle of the lineup. He just doesn't. And really has not shown any ability to do that consistently. To me, Benintendi's either one or two or, you know, 7, 8, 9. You know, you want to say six, you could probably talk me into that. But I think there are better power options in the six spot. He doesn't hit for enough power. He just doesn't. And so I don't know where else you go with Benintendi. Quickly, Dave and Weymouth. Dave, what do you got?
Yeah, I was just thinking about the press conference from Mookie Betts yesterday.
Yeah,
any
no problem. Go ahead.
That I had, any feelings I had that, oh, we just let our best player go, or why didn't you want to be here, went out the window when I heard his press conference. I mean, I can't imagine thinking the money. Every single question, this guy wouldn't commit to anything. He just wanted to be middle of the road, nothing that could come back to haunt him later down, except no responsibility up front. I wouldn't sink $300 million into a guy like that as the face of my franchise. He should be beaming with excitement, and he was just, oh, I just want to play ball and keep my head down and just good riddance, I say.
Okay, so Dave, look, he's a pretty low-key guy. He had a low-key personality. And he did that. He was like that when he was here. I mean, he just, you know, I don't think there was anything fake about that. I think that genuinely is who he is. He's just a low-key guy that wants to play ball. Now, if I were the Dodgers and I'm sinking that kind of money in, I would want a little bit more than someone low-key. I mean, I know in New York, after they signed Jacoby Ellsbury, they didn't love the fact that Ellsbury wanted nothing to do with, you know, the responsibilities that came along with a big contract. Ellsbury was invisible in New York. In fact, they thought he was going to be like a star player for them, and then he just kind of vanished. And his personality sort of went along with what he gave him on the field. No, I think Mookie's a way more dynamic player than Ellsbury. I would never call him Jacoby Ellsbury. And what he said in the press conference should not be, you know, the reason that you dislike him or wouldn't pay him. The real reason you shouldn't pay him, and the disliking thing is, I like Mookie Betts. He's a likable guy. I never would have given him that money, though. Never. Not a guy his size on a 12- or 13-year deal. I just wouldn't have done it. 617-779-0985. A lot to watch tonight with the Red Sox, including the actual game broadcast. So we're going to bring in someone to talk to about that with next.
This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Talking everything baseball.
So if you're a Red Sox fan, here's what you're thinking.
It's the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
John Andreoli, native of Worcester, Massachusetts, cuts right through that one. Proud graduate of St. John's High in Shrewsbury. Now you talking about the sweets and get darn comfortable for Rafi Devers. And Rafi, after he did his work tonight, kick back and relax a little bit. His sweets.
It's hot up there, man.
Sox with a man at every base. Yeah, the bottom of the seventh with one down.
This is where you'd hear some crowd noise. Regular season?
Yes, considerable.
Come on. Pump it up.
Time to party.
So obviously the Red Sox broadcast crew, television broadcast crew, from a exhibition against the Blue Jays the other night. Fake crowd noise, different experience for the viewer this year. So with that in mind, we're going to bring in Michael Silverman, former colleague of mine at the Boston Herald. He's now at the Boston Globe writing sports business. Had an interesting story earlier in the week concerning what the broadcast experience is going to be like in the game this year. In fact, the headline, Mike, and I know you don't write the headlines.
You know that, yeah. What did it say? I already forgot.
High-speed cameras, better tracking, and in-game contests, all part of the new MLB broadcast experience. So look, the national game last night, obviously, or games, although I was primarily focused on the Yankees and the Nationals, did you see any of the stuff that you had talked about, StatCast, any of those things in that game? Was there anything noticeable to you? And
I did.
Well, let me start there. Let's start with that.
You're assuming I saw the game. No, I did not. I did not catch the game, Tony. So we're 0-for-1 discussing it. I think they have all the technology they want. I think, I don't know if all of it is going to be ready on day one, but they certainly build it that way, that it's all going to be up and coming. And I think all of the stat casts, the measurements, you know, they use for defensive plays and whatnot, I think that's all up and running as far as what the broadcasters did.
Okay. So, And Mike, do you get any sense that the NESN broadcasts this year are going to be any different than what they've been in the past, or that some of these features will be available in NESN broadcasts as much as they will be in Major League broadcasts?
You know, Tony, these are excellent questions. That's why you used to excel on the Red Sox beat. you know, I have not. I'm just not looped into the NESN plans. We probably should have had Chad Finn on, huh?
Well, so let me ask you about some of the stuff that's in the story. Okay, because some of this stuff did, it opened my eyes, Mike. Like, I thought, wow, in a lot of ways, baseball does not need more technology and stat stuff. And I'll tell you, one of it relates to sort of the in-game decision-making or access that the players have to information, which struck me as kind of odd. And I'm reading from a paragraph directly in your story. Okay, in a concession to both COVID-19 and the fallout from the Red Sox and Astros video cheating scandals, players and coaches will have a personal iPad at their disposal, preloaded with video content, say that game's starting pitcher or a batter's previous encounters with a pitcher, advanced scouting reports, spray charts. MLB will control and dispense the devices, around 15 per team. The devices cannot connect online in any way during a game. And if it happens to get stolen or misplaced, MLB has the capability to wipe its memory. After each game, the iPads are collected, sanitized, and then reloaded for the next game. How do you feel about the idea of all these iPads being in the dugout?
I have no problem with that. I think it's kind of cool, actually. I mean, I think baseball needs to do anything and everything it can. I mean, if the camera pans and actually shows everyone on the bench is glued to the iPad, I mean, that's a big problem. It's not for their own personal safety, right? I mean, I think it's the kind of thing that a hitter's going to glance at before they go up to bat. Or, I mean, you know, ideally, it's kind of the tech nerds like J.D. Martinez who are really going to get into it. I think some players are more, you know, see the ball, hit the ball, and they may glance at it for a reminder. Or, you know, I think it's going to be real helpful for coaches perhaps to, you know, adjust the defense depending on who's up. But I don't think these guys are like, you know, our teenage kids who are just glued to the screen all the time. I think in the game they're pretty focused on what's in front of them. And, you know, you have to be if you're on the bench because foul balls go whizzing in there all the time. And I've almost never seen someone in a bench, in a dugout, take their eyes off the ball in the game. They know how dangerous it is. So yeah.
Okay. No, so look, my issue is, Mike, with the on-field product. And again, we got Michael Silverman of the Boston Globe joining us via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. And I'll tell you what, I'll make these quick so that I don't chew up your whole night, okay? But
no problem.
Like, I don't like the idea of the devices in the dugout, Mike, because I don't think the game should be played that way. Like, and you know, you covered the game for a long time. I feel like that I don't want to say they're making it too easy for guys, but they're coming. To me, the whole challenge in the game is going up there and having to remember how a guy pitched you early in the game and then make adjustments as you go without having the use of video or any sort of electronic device. Like, just play the game on the field. To me, that's what it's all about. So I don't like all the extraneous stuff with it.
I think the horse has left the barn, Tony. I mean, they have...
Well, then let's put him back in.
The barn door is locked shut, and the horse is galloping away as is. You know, they have the technology now. I mean, they could use it where you couldn't see them. I mean, I don't know if that would make... I'm sure that wouldn't change your opinion at all. I mean, maybe the... I mean, they've had access to iPads in the past. Not 15, I don't believe. I don't think it's to that number. But they definitely referred to them during games before. Was it the sheer volume of them that kind of has you wigged out?
Yeah, I just don't. I didn't like it before either, and I just think now they're exacerbating the problem. And so
Well,
so possibly, yeah, it's entirely possible. And look, when we talk about all these enhancements in the broadcast and everything else, to me, what all this stuff does, Mike, and again, you covered the game for a long time. I see the broadcast enhancements in baseball, and I say, well, this is putting the tuxedo on the pig. They have to dress up the product because the game itself can't be sold to fans anymore the way it used to because the game doesn't move quickly enough. It's not as exciting. There are fewer balls in play. And, you know, I'm just curious. Before I let you go, I'm just curious as to your overall assessment on the state of baseball.
Well, maybe you're not kind of the audience who would kind of like that kind of stuff because maybe that's geared more towards young viewers who might think that stuff is really kind of cool and didn't grow up kind of in the, you know, in the good old days, like you and I did in watching baseball where it was pretty stripped down, right? It was acoustic baseball and now it's kind of electric. And I think baseball to survive is not going to depend on, you know, you and me still loving the game. It's really going to be if they can appeal to young viewers. And my hunch, I'm sure they've done their research on this, is that, you know, this is the kind of stuff that kids dig. And kids are used to looking this stuff on their phone. They you know, if they're going to watch TV, they want some whiz and some bang and some whistles and doodads. And I know it doesn't appeal to you. That's, you know, that's the tuxedo part. But I think to some viewers, it does.
So, Mike, look, I hope you're right. Okay, I hope you're right.
Yeah.
I just
50-50 chance of that.
Well, so I'd say it's less than 50-50, but that's neither here nor there. So the part that worries me is that the demos for the young people are low, and I don't know that it has to do with the broadcast. I think it has to do with the game. Mm-hmm. But in any case, before I let you go, when you look at the Red Sox and now with the expanded playoff field, how do you feel about their chances?
Well, I mean, at best, this is a mediocre team, right? But with 16 teams, a mediocre team definitely has a shot. I mean, I don't think the Red Sox, you know, are going to be a sub-500 team, although that's definitely possible. Their pitching is so atrocious. I mean, it's going to generate some enthusiasm. I'm all for expanding the playoffs because I think this year is so unique. Why not? Throw everything out there. Be as different as you can. It's great. It helps their chances, but really this is a really pretty poor Red Sox edition.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I fear they could be really bad, Mike. I do. Yeah. I feel that they could be bad. But again,
I think the chances of them being really bad are much greater than they are of them being really good. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I agree. All right, listen, good talking to you as always.
Yeah, you too, Tony. Take care.
All right, Michael Silverman, Boston Globe, via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Wasn't entirely what I expected. I'll be honest. I thought that... I thought he had some inside info there, too, about some of the nests and stuff, but maybe not. But again, the iPads in the dugout, that kind of crap. When I read that, so it was a great story, by the way, on the Globe website that he wrote. If you haven't read it, go read it about what you're going to get in the broadcast, which, again, to me, ultimately, is to just disguise the fact that the product blows. The game on the field sucks. That's the problem with baseball. And the iPads in the dugout, I hate them. And apparently, so does Todd in Plymouth. Todd, what do you got?
Yo, what's up, Maz? Man, I love and respect everything you say about baseball, but one thing I got to call you out on is these iPads. So let me ask you a question. Tom Brady comes off the field after not converting on third down, what's the first thing he does every time he goes to the bench?
Still photos.
He grabs the iPad. He starts looking at the plays. I mean, that's what technology is all about. So why should baseball not have that ability that quarterbacks do in football?
Okay, first of all, it's a different sport, and there's still photos, correct? It's just about where players are lining up. He gets to see things like that in terms of being able to diagnose defenses. Here's the other thing. There are 22 players on a football field, Todd. It's hard to process everything because every guy's involved in every play. The whole baseball thing, I knew someone was going to bring this up, and I'm going to let you go. And not because I don't want you to answer back. I'm just up against it. It's not the same. The one-on-one confrontation in baseball is the game. Is the game. That's the whole game. In chess, a bad analogy, I know, but work with me. What do you get to analyze every move and every little tick and where a guy exactly, all these tendencies by taking a peek between moves? No. Do your research before the game and then go out and play it. Everything's a one-on-one confrontation in baseball. Just about everything. So why should you have the right to go back and look at the video of an at-bat between at-bats? That's not the way the game's designed. Play the freaking game. Look at the video later and prepare for the next time you face the same pitcher. I hate the iPad in the dugout thing. I can't tell you how much I hate it. I can't stand it. And the idea of being able to look at video on the bench in between at bats, I despise it. I do. I to me, that is, I don't want to say it's cheating, but part of the whole challenge is, what did he do to get me out the last time? How's he going to get me out this time? Was the catcher setting up in a certain place? Like, I don't think you should have the advantage of that. I think you should have to do it from memory. I do. I prefer it that way. And if that makes me outdated and old school, so be it. But do we have to have a device for everything? Apparently we do. Even a baseball game, you need to check it between at-bats?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now, more hot takes on a short season. It's the Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
92nd, right field, number 50, Mookie Betts.
Betts on 2-1. On the base hit into left field. But Mookie is aboard. His first hit is a Dodger. Single to left.
Doesn't have quite the same feel without a big roar from the crowd. But Mookie Betts got his first hit. As a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers last night, he went 1-for-5, 2 strikeouts, left 4 men on base. Had a nice base running play where he slid in to the plate head first, got his hand in there and avoided the tag. Kind of thing you've seen from him before. But that was his first highlight in L.A. When he got the single, he did signal to the dugout for the ball. Mookie Betts wanted the ball for his first hit. As a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers, certainly his performance in L.A. starting this year, abbreviated season or not, will be one of the things that we pay attention to. And his absence certainly makes the Red Sox a worse team. No two ways about it. Although I don't think they're really going to miss him this year. I think this team is going to score. I think what they'll miss this year more than anything is the pitching. They have enough offense to score. We all know that. So I don't think they're going to miss Mookie by a ton. But an eventful week extended by the Dodgers. Sam Kennedy, president of the Red Sox, said he was disappointed when he heard the news and said that I think the way he described it was closure. Closure, and I think he's right. No gray areas now, no Mookie back on the market, bad market after COVID, maybe he'd come back, all that's gone. Mookie Betts is a Dodger, 13 years, that's it, it's done, he's playing elsewhere. But the Red Sox do go on, and their playoff chances this year are now better without even having played a game because 8 teams in the American League are going to get in. 8 teams. Sam in Rhode Island, you think the Red Sox are going to get in, and do you like the new format?
So I think that I don't even know if we're going to get in or not, to be perfectly honest. But what I do think is that we shouldn't write off the.
Okay, Sam, we lost you. So, and I don't know if that's a Sam thing or a phone thing, because I lost a caller on line one as well. But I would tell you that before we lost you, you said, I don't think we should write off the season. I agree. Why would you write off the season? Why would you do that? Definitely not. If you're going to play the games and you treat them the same way, how else are we supposed to approach it? So is it going to be in an unusual season? Yes, it's been an unusual year. It's going to be unusual in every sport, not just baseball. Does 60 games change it? Of course. So we had a caller today on the Felger and Mads show say, well, you know, the 60 games is kind of gimmicky. What else are they going to do? They could have played 80, I suppose. They certainly could have been back a few weeks ago and played on July 4th weekend had they been able to get their act together. They didn't. But either way, is 80 games any more of a true season than 60? A little bit. But it's still gimmicky. The game's designed to break you down. It's designed to be played over 162. It's designed to be a marathon. No marathon. But you still have a chance to get into the playoffs now, more than ever. If you think about it, everything has broken the Red Sox way since the start of spring training. Now, and when I say that, I mean that this team would not have been a real playoff threat entering this season if it hadn't been a short schedule and an expanded playoff field. The short season in and of itself gives them a chance, and now the expanded playoff field? I'm with Matt McCarthy. If they don't make it, it's embarrassing.
It's a complete embarrassment. I love the 60-game schedule, Maz. You know why? I'm going to tune in tonight, and I'm going to tune in this weekend for a July series against the Baltimore Orioles, and it means something. Like, if the Red Sox drop 2 out of 3 to the Orioles, I'm going to be pissed on Monday. I am. When was the last time you said, wow, these games in July truly mean something? Every game means something in this baseball season. Well, you know, if Ron Renneke screws up the bullpen tonight or does something like that, we can rip him tomorrow over it. You know, that's the beauty of all of this. It adds a sense of urgency to the baseball season that we haven't had in a long time. I love it.
Yeah, look, to me, again, I will, I'll take it. I'll take it. And the wins against the Orioles, by the way, no slam dunk. Last year, the Red Sox went 12-7 against the Orioles.
I think the Yankees went like 17-2.
It was something like that.
Beat the hell out of them.
Yeah, it was something like that. The games are no slam dunk, for sure. The Red Sox are going to have to fight for every win this year. Matt's in Malden. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, Maz. You are right on point about the technology ruining the purity of the game and your purity as a competitor. It's every game. You know, football's only been doing it for a few years or a little longer, but they, you know, that's a 16-game season. That's something that is a tenth of the baseball season and I guess at that time. But you don't see NBA players or NHL players looking at iPads on the bench, and it just doesn't make any sense that baseball's following suit as the longest season where what's supposed to be. And it ruins the ability of the competitor to read the person across from you and win the game.
Right, to dissect and analyze, absolutely. And again, what Matt's talking about in the event you don't know, one of the new rule changes this year, and this was actually in a story from Michael Silverman in the Globe, about the broadcast experience. Players in the dugout will be allowed, there'll be 15 iPads handed out to the Red Sox before the game for staff and players with game information, pitcher at bats, video of past pitcher at bats, all that, basically a scouting report. So during a game, you can look at the video on this iPad. Now look, it's emphasized here that the iPads will not have any sort of connectivity to the internet. So think of them as DVD players, okay? If that's an easier way to think about it. It has information on it. And so you can. Why should you be able to watch at bats of a pitcher during a game, whether it's a previous at bat or not? You shouldn't be allowed to do it. During the game, you play. I believe that you shouldn't be able to leave the dugout during the game. You have to go to the bathroom? Well, fine, right here. Believe me, all these ballparks now have bathrooms right at the base of the dugout stairs. Okay, there are bathrooms right there. What do you need the iPad for? Nobody used to use an iPad before when they played the game. What do you need that for? No. No monitors, nothing. You're on the field, you play the game. And we had a caller call up and say, well, still photos in the NFL, they look at the iPads. Again, still photos. I would tell you it's a different sport. There's 22 guys on the field. There's a lot to process. Even then, I'm not sure I love it. But the iPads in baseball, the whole pitcher-batter confrontation, that's the whole game. You have to remember how we did it the last time. And you will. But you don't get to look at where his feet are on the rubber unless you're paying attention to that when you're in the batter's box. Steve in Plainville on the same topic. Go ahead.
Yeah, so you were saying that they're going to be looking at previous at-bats, but my understanding is that they're not going to be loading that stuff in. It's going to be previous games worth of stuff. So you're not going to be looking at the feet on the mound or how he pitched you the last at-bat. You may be able to look at past games, but not that actual game.
It's a fair point, Steve. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. It's a fair point. But I would say what you can look for is, does this guy have any sort of tick or tell when he's standing on the third base side versus the first base side of the rubber? Or does he move on the rubber when he's going to throw a breaking ball? Or does he hold his hands differently? So you can look at that stuff in game now. I don't like, what do you need it for? Why do you need that? Like what does it, why all of a sudden the change? Because why? They don't have as much time to prepare and you know there's less access to the ballpark and those sorts of things that their pregame routines is disrupted? Maybe. Study at home. I don't like the precedent. That baseball fed us this whole crap about electronics in the game and you know they had the whole Astros scandal and the first thing they do out of the pandemic is to give these guys iPads in the dugout? Oh, my God, I hate it. Justin's in Gloucester. Go ahead, Justin.
Maz, what's up?
What do you got?
Hey, you were all fired up the other day, man. I love it. You're great. Hey, I wanted to talk to you real quick. I'm kind of off subject, but 2013 World Series. Let's talk about that real quick, man. Why don't you think that was a legit World Series?
Hey, Justin, are you really Justin in Gloucester or are you Scott in Weymouth?
Dude, I'm Justin in Gloucester.
I don't believe you.
My name is Justin Bresnahan from Gloucester.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I'll just ask you a question.
So what was the question? Ask me again. I was distracted by your voice. Go ahead.
So that World Series, we're going back to 2013. Felger always hangs up on me. I've been dying to talk to you about this for a while.
So it is Scott and Weymouth. See, I knew I recognized your voice.
How about that?
I knew it. He changed it.
Well, Detective Maz.
Yeah. Chris in Cape Cod. Chris on the Cape, rather. What do you got?
Hey, Matt, how are you doing, buddy, tonight? How's it going?
Good.
Hey, I how many times do we hear about Ortiz having a bad at-bat? You go back to the clubhouse, watch the tape, and then send one into the bleachers?
Yeah,
it's been going on for years.
Yeah, I don't like that either, Chris.
It's the same thing. Are they even allowed in the clubhouse this year because of the COVID?
Okay, and what I said was after the Astros thing, when that whole thing blew up, I said, I don't want the guys going in the clubhouse anymore. I said that at that time. I'm done with that. Play the game. What do you need to go see the video for? What are you looking for? What are you looking for that you couldn't detect from being in the batter's box? So this is what, like, what the reliance on this stuff is really starting to drive me crazy. So I understand they're doing it this year, and the preparation was a factor because of COVID. I get the whole nine yards. Why do you need the electronics during the game? Why do you need to go up in the clubhouse and watch your at-bat on TV? Sit your ass and stay in the dugout. Like, I said this at the time, and I'm serious about it. When the game starts, chain the clubhouse door. In fact, I would say, you know, put the door at the end of the runway, lock it. Don't let them out. They can't leave the playing area. There's a bathroom at the base of the dugout stairs. What do you need to leave it for? Sit there and play the game. What do you need to go up there? What, so Pablo Sandoval can go up and check on his Instagram account from Legacy Diva or whatever her name was? Diva Legacy? Do you remember, Jimmy?
I think it was Diva X Legacy or something. There was an X involved in there, Maz.
Okay, so I was close.
Pablo, three-hitter for the Giants.
I was close.
This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.